You've met my girlfriend, right?
I have met your girlfriend,
yes. And she is very definitely not a geek.
No, she's not.
No, right. But she's dating me, so that means she's going to have to step into the deep end of the pool at some point in time. Mm-hmm. So, this is something of a long story, but the new Star Wars trailer's dropped. Everyone's, except for mm-hmm. me, has seen it because I don't watch trailers, because I don't watch trailers for something that I'm already going to see, because mm-hmm. in many cases, spoilers have ruined my experience of actually seeing the movie.
Yeah, they're pretty good trailers. Not a lot of spoilers in them. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel that I know very, very little about the overall plot.
Okay.
So that's good. However, at the same time, I still feel like, ooh, it's Star Wars.
Yeah. But I went and saw the movie John Wick the other day, and they actually had the trailer. I'm not sure if it was the new trailer. No, it was the old trailer. But they had J.J. Abrams. He comes on and gives a little special message to the people in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Saying,
yeah,
this is my movie.
Sitting in front of an X-Wing or something?
Something like that. But like he's sitting there and like talking directly to the audience, saying, you know, this is my new movie I'm working on. You know, I'm hoping to bring in like old fans of the classic Star Wars, and you know, people who haven't experienced it yet, and I hope you enjoy it. And then they play the trailer. So, anyways, I went and saw Mad Max for the third time in theaters the other day with my girlfriend, because it was playing in the 4DX, which I've mentioned is that thing where they have like the rumble seats, and they have the
rumble seats and the scent things.
Yeah, it sprays water, flashes, all that, and a lot of fun. Okay, so rewinding just a bit, as I said, the new Star Wars is coming this December, so, and I'm going to see it, and my girlfriend wants to see it with me, so we're slowly getting into Star Wars. We saw the first episode, episode 4.
Okay, that was my question.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I was like, you started with one, huh?
Starting with four.
Terrible person.
No, I'm doing the machete method, where I'm skipping one altogether. I'm going 4, 5, 2, 3, 6. But, so, we're going to see Mad Max, and then, you know, the trailers pop up, and then I see the obligatory Lucasfilm. So I shut my eyes, you know, not going to watch that. And then I hear, you know, you hear the dialogue, and it's got, this is with the older trailer, the one that came before the official one, which has Mark Hamill, and he's saying, he's doing the Luke Skywalker thing. It's like, the Force is strong with my family, in my family.
Yeah, yeah. That's the first one.
Yeah.
Yep.
My father has it. You know, it wasn't, my father has it, I have it, and you have it, that thing.
Yeah.
The minute he says, my father has it, an audible gasp comes from the chair next to me. My girlfriend did not know the biggest secret. Well, not so the biggest secret, but...
Oh, she didn't...
She did not know.
You hadn't fucking watched Empire yet.
No.
Oh.
We were actually in the middle of watching Empire. We had like watched until I think like Luke got to Dagobah.
Jeez.
Yeah. We'd gotten that far.
That's harsh,
man. And for reasons we had to cut it short, and we're gonna go back to it. But yeah. So yeah.
Well, that must have been enjoyable.
Yeah. I kinda understand that the whole like, you know, spoilers, Vader is Luke's father thing is kind of ingrained in the culture. It's just such a prevalent thing that...
In all fairness, she has had 30 years to watch it, you know?
Yeah, well, again, but that's the thing, is that there are people who haven't watched it. There are people.
But even in Japan...
Yeah. And so, like,
Star Wars is so unbelievably wildly popular.
Yeah. I mean, I can't really blame the trailer for doing that. I mean... But I mean, it's unfortunate, but I can't blame it for that. But still, yeah, it was unfortunate.
Well, and even the visuals for that portion of it are nothing related to even... Or are they?
No, it shows that skull.
It's the mask, right?
Yeah,
it shows part of the mask.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? The burnt mask?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So yeah, that was interesting.
Well, maybe you're lucky. Maybe she hasn't gotten the maybe she didn't understand the my sister has it thing.
I'm pretty sure she didn't. But
all right. Well, hey.
Hopefully,
I mean, yeah. I know it's not quite as big, but you got that one still. Right?
Yeah. So yeah, that was an interesting experience. Yeah.
Euphemisms are fun.
No. So yeah, kind of. I mean, as I said, I understand, like, for something like that, for something like Star Wars, which is so ingrained in the culture, you've got, I mean, even if you haven't seen Star Wars, there's so much stuff that parodies it, there's so much stuff that, you know, riffs on it, things like that.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive
that
she hasn't had that spoiled to her by any number of Japanese variety shows, just to start.
So, like, I know, as disappointing as it is, I can't really fault anybody for it. But yeah, that kind of it still does kind of reinforce my stance on spoilers, and that like you can ruin someone's experience because we went back and watched the rest of Empire, but she was like, yeah, already knowing that going in, and it really does because the Empire, looking at it again, it does, the entire movie builds up on like Darth Vader is a fucking monster. And then, boom, surprise, he's your father, sort of thing. Yeah.
The big reveal. Wow.
Yeah. Anyways.
So that was a fun time had by all.
Oh, yeah. So what have you been doing recently?
Just playing the same thing you have.
Oh. Fate.
Fate Grand Order.
Uh-huh.
The way to drain a lot of money out of your wallet.
Yeah.
iPhone.
Question, how much money have you, real money have you, it's a free to, okay, for people who don't know, it's a free to play game based on a very popular IP, but how much real money have you spent?
Oh god, what did I end up spending? $12, I think. It's kind of funny, I've never ever paid microtransactions ever before on any game, ever.
Not even ever. For like PS, like for console games with like skins and stuff like that?
Nope, never have. Not once.
Wow, pop your cherry.
And so, but I had to buy something in Grand Order for an article I'm writing.
Mm.
It was like explicitly passed down by our boss that I had to buy something in it. And I was like,
Well,
I can either go for the $1 thing or I can go for something much more useful that's $12. And I was like, all right, why not?
Yeah.
If I gotta buy something anyway, I'll go a little higher. And of course, I didn't get anything from it, like at all. Nothing useful.
Wow. Question: well, what did you get? What are you getting in?
I bought. Okay, so like most mobile transactions games like this, microtransaction games like this, there's some kind of like currency or tickets or whatever that you use to get new cards, new characters in your party, new equipment, new items.
And the best ones are generally behind that paywall.
Yeah, I mean, right.
Yeah.
Well, and you can collect the gems very slowly through the game, or
very slowly.
or you can buy them or whatever. Well, the thing is, the way they have the game set up is you're guaranteed a rare, which a super rare, which is normally a 3% chance, but you're guaranteed one if you grab 10 cards at once. So you spend 40 of these gems.
Yeah.
Well, the problem was, at that point, even though I'd only been playing a week, I had literally exhausted the game of gems.
Yeah. The way the game works, yeah.
Because you go through the story, and once you're caught up on the story, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no more gems for you, really.
Yeah.
So I had gone through that, and they give you about, if you go through the story, you get about 100 gems total.
Yeah.
So I had already done my two pulls, and I had, 20 gems left over, and so I was like, oh, look, 20 gems for $12, okay. Let's do it. Why not? Mm. And I've never pulled anything good. Never.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Yeah, that game's gotten several complaints because of the rarity of its really rare cards. So.
Well, I haven't even gotten a moderately rare one.
Yeah.
Like, even though it was guaranteed, like, what I got were equipment cards, which not really useful to me. Because I have no strong actual characters.
Mm.
And because I don't have any strong actual characters, I can't do the higher level events to get more gems or get more equipment or anything like that. Luckily, I found that long ago, when the game was first announced, I signed up for their mailing list, which got me a super rare that I hadn't realized I had, like that I could enter a code for. So I got that. And then with the new event, I now have the super rare you get from that event, which was actually quite easy to get. I was very happy.
Yeah.
All you got to do is the story, and they're like, here's your super rare. Yeah. And I was like, oh, is it one of the best in the game? No, not even close. Is it better than what I had? Absolutely.
Yeah. And actually, if you go through the event, you can actually get more copies of that card, which actually allowed you to boost it. So
you boost its Noble Phantasm, but even then it's not very strong. Yes, mine is fully boosted, if that was the answer. If that was your question.
not my question, but yeah.
Yeah, even fully boosted, it's not very strong, but better than what I had. So.
Yep. I mean, it is. I wrote a review on it on Kotaku. It's a very fun game, but yeah, you kind of need some background. I mean, all you have to do is watch the series, but even so.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's how most of these games are, right?
Yeah. But I mean, but it, even so, considering that it does have that entry hurdle, it's got over 4 million downloads, I think. I mean, I'm pretty sure they've crossed 5 million. They just haven't announced it yet, but I'm pretty sure they have. But anyways, yeah, so games in general for you this past few weeks?
That's, did that, what else did I do? I finished up Digimon.
Okay.
It's just, it's so weird to be playing a game like that. That, like, I watched all of, like, the first two seasons of Digimon back in the day. I really loved it. I just didn't like it when they decided to start up a new universe and a new continuity. I was like, okay, all the stuff I'm invested in is gone, so I'm gone. I hear it's great. People say it's great. I'm not saying it's not great. I'm just saying I was done at that point. But, yeah, this game, so I picked up Cyber Sleuths after we played it at Bandai Namco right before TGS. And so, yeah, I was like, all right, well, okay, we'll try this. We'll see how this is, like, this turns out. It looks cool. And the thing is, like, the story is really interesting because it's, like, based around a virtual, like, you know, like Sword Art Online style world that you can, that everybody logs into, but it's more like a business thing than a games thing. It's just kind of like, and that's how, that's basically the setup. But what happens is, like, your character gets attacked by a strange, weird creature that separate, like as you're trying to log out. And so what ends up happening is you appear digitized in the real world while your real body is in a coma.
Huh, okay.
And so you have all these kind of crazy weird powers that make no sense, like travel through TVs and stuff like that, because you're not a real person. You're the digital version of your soul, basically.
Okay.
And the thing is, so we end up like hooking up with a private detective who specializes in like cyber crime. And you're her assistant. You basically drop out of school and become her assistant. And so that's all. So you're half the time you're just doing private investigator stuff, and half the time you're dealing with this weird, crazy stuff that's happening to like the super popular online world. And that's cool. So it's an interesting story. But the thing that kills me is almost from the beginning. Like you meet the other two main characters. Well, I guess there's three main characters other than you, but the two that you start off with, and you meet them. And, you know, you go off, you find your first Digimon or whatever. And when you come back, the main girl of the whole story, she is being, like, she's playing with an Agumon and a Gabumon. Which...
You're going to have to clarify.
Okay. The Agumon and the Gabumon are the two main characters of the first Digimon. Those are their Digimon. The thing you have to know about these two is that... the way they level up, they'll eventually be able to merge into the most powerful Digimon, period. And you normally, you have to have two people to do this. Yeah. But from the start, this girl is set up to have the most powerful Digimon, like, straight up. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not the main character of this story, am I? And you're not like as you play on. Yeah, sure. There's stuff that only you can do, and you're helping out a lot of people. But like when it comes to saving the world, no, it's clearly in her ballpark. Like, it's so, it's kind of strange, because it sets it up, like, very clearly, like, watch out, you know. And it's very funny, because, like, eventually, the probably the best part in the game they actually show in the trailer is when she finally, like, she's in a fight, and she loses the fight, and she's just like, no, I'm in the right. I'm, you know, I have justice behind me. I'm never going to give up. And then both of hers, they merge for the first time. You just have this scene with her, like, with her arms crossed and, like, the most powerful Digimon ever behind her. And I'm like, yeah, okay, definitely. I may be the protagonist, but I am not the main character. Right?
Like, okay. I actually like that sort of thing, where it's like, yeah, you're the point of view. The story revolves around you, but not the world, sort of thing.
You know, so, if I can think of another game that's like that, it's like Final Fantasy XII like that.
Right? Yeah.
Van is not the main character. Like, he may be the protagonist, like the person you're following, but he is certainly not, like, the focal point of your whole game. That's either Ash or Valtair, right?
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, I think you said what Valtair was supposed to be the main character.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the main character. Yeah. At least that's the rumor. That's the story I've always heard, is that originally, yeah, our favorite air pirate there was supposed to be the main character. But, you know, he's like a middle-aged guy, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we need a hot young pretty boy.
Yeah.
Van's the main character now. And it's just like, oh. Because his story is over, like, 10 hours into the game, 15 hours into the game.
Wait,
from that
who's,
point on,
which
Van
one?
Is just, Van's story.
Oh, okay.
Van's just tagging along from that point on.
Okay.
He really doesn't do much. He's certainly not the heart and the soul of the team or anything like that. No, it's either Ash's story or Baltair's, depending on your opinion, or both of theirs. So that's kind of what it reminds me of. I mean, don't get me wrong. You're very central to the plot. You're the linchpin for everything coming together. Mm-hmm. If you didn't have your powers, nothing would ever get done, basically.
Okay.
But, like, she is the archetypical Digimon hero. And you're not. Like, you may have the goggles, which marks you as protagonist, but no. The main hero is certainly the girl, is Nokia. So, and that's not a bad thing. It's just kind of a funny thing.
I think, honestly, that it sounds like a good thing, honestly. But.
Yeah, no, she just has, like, your main character, like, the biggest problem with this game so far for me is, like, the main character is not quite a silent protagonist, but pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore has almost no personality, right?
Hmm. Yeah, blank slate, sort of reflective of the so that the player can sort of...
Yeah, except for the fact, like, that kind of, like, I don't particularly like it, but that works in first-person games, right?
Yeah.
Where you can't see, so your face is your face, right?
Yeah.
You can't see your face. But you can always see this character's face and her reactions. So she has a personality. She reacts to certain things in certain ways. And yes, you can choose a lot of answers and get, you know, affect, like, the next sentence, but that's about it.
Hmm.
So, yeah, well, you get what I mean. So it's just not very, it doesn't have a lot of impact, right?
Hmm.
And she just doesn't stand out as a character. And then you get somebody like Nokia, and who's just all personality. She's so much fun to have around in your party. And who she goes over has this huge arc of character development of going from, like, oh man, hackers are the scum of the earth, their evil programs, their Digimon evil virus programs are horrible, to, no, I like those two. And if most of them are like this Gabumon and this Agumon, I have to protect them. And it's like her growth, like, as she, like, at first she's more than happy to just let you go in and fight for her.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, like, the Digimon themselves are like, well, that's kind of dickish. Go in there and fight with her. Come on, let's go. And then she, you know, she just flat out steps up and is just like, no, I can do it. We can do it, you know. And she just forms her own group and basically becomes, like, the archetypical hero. Like, I'm going to save all the Digimon. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. That's the bottom line of it. And it's cool to watch her character development. You just don't have anything similar. You can't, because you're this weird, almost nothing character.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't know.
Alrighty. Well, sort of running off topic, this is actually something I wanted to talk about last week. But not last week, last episode, but we kind of got carried away again, as we are wont to do.
It does happen sometimes, yes.
But sort of stuff that's going on in Japan right now, actually. One of the things that happens recently is, well, didn't happen recently, but it's coming, is that we're getting another tax increase, another sales tax increase. Currently, it's what, 8%?
Yeah. What was it before? It used to be really low.
It started out, I forget what it started before that, but I remember back in the 90s when I was actually living here in junior high, it went up to 5%.
Yeah, it might have stayed there.
It stayed there until like a few years ago, a couple. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2-3 years ago. Yeah, I think about 2-3 years ago, it was 5%, and then it jumped to 8%, because raising the tax rate always helps the economy, and sarcasm.
Don't be gelling. Don't be gelling.
No, it's just, I don't want to talk too much about that, but yeah, the economic policies of the current prime minister are not very popular. But they're raising the tax rate to 10%, I believe.
Hmm.
And one of the things they're doing is that this is really, really weird, but the tax rate, I forget for what, there are certain things it's going to raise and certain things it's not going to raise. I believe it's going to raise for food, like for produce and things like that, but you get the money back.
Oh, like on your refund?
Yeah, on your tax returns. So, but it's really, really messed up. So, like, you have to pay this extra money for sales tax, but you, like, when you file your tax returns, you get it back. However, they're instituting, what's it called? They had these in England. The numbers for everybody. Everybody gets their own number, assigned number.
Like a social security number?
Kind of like that, yeah.
Okay.
Which, again, everybody loves and sarcasm, but there's a you only get back a certain amount, like of the tax you've spent, you only get there's actually a limit. I'm trying to remember, it's, I think, like, to set it up, they're spending several hundred million, if not a billion yen, to set up to set the whole thing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how they're planning on making that money back. Anyways, a lot of people are not very happy with it.
Surprise.
Yes. And, however, there is one organization that seems quite happy with it, which is NHK, which is the Japanese... It used to be the publicly funded... TV network, which was paid for by taxpayer money. I believe they've become privatized, but they're the largest, most powerful TV corporation in Japan.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they are very happy about this idea, because they're saying they've pretty much come out and said that they're going to be utilizing those citizen assigned numbers to get people to pay their cable bills.
It's not cable bill. It's if you own a TV, you are required to pay for NHK.
Yeah, that's
doesn't matter if you have an antenna. It doesn't matter if you have cable. It doesn't matter if you use it as a TV.
Well, if your TV is capable of viewing, they haven't gotten rid of analog yet, have they? They were going to.
No, it's gone for years.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's the thing. Well, I know it got extended because of the earthquake.
Mm-hmm. No, but it's been gone.
It's gone now. Okay. It was supposed to. They were supposed to get rid of it in 2011, I think, and then the earthquake happened. So they're like, no time for that. Let's extend it a few years. But okay. So it's gone now. But yeah, so everything's digital. So thanks to digital, they can actually check to see if you can see. Like, they have those cards with the SIM card.
TV. Yeah. You have to have the SIM card in your TV.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that allows them, they can basically trace that. So they know that you can watch or have been watching. And so they can charge you. And there's actually stuff like hotels which have the TV, which have TVs. But even if people weren't using them, they have, like, I think there were, I'm not 100% sure how this ruling went, but I believe they basically said that hotels have to pay for every TV in every room.
Huh. All right, so a lot of hotels not going to have TVs anymore.
Yep. So, yeah, and, yeah, NHK, I mean, they do do, honestly, they do do some of the best educational stuff. Their, most of their
yeah,
stuff...
Yeah, but their news is pretty terrible these days, because they basically, they're, the top guys at NHK have, like, lists of things that the reporters aren't allowed to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I mean,
yeah.
They are in a sense, a corporation, so they're due, you know, but even so, they do tend to... Their stuff tends to have less of a slant. They may not say things, but it has less of a slant than, say, something like Fuji TV or TV Tokyo or things like that. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, some of their... And they don't do as many cloying variety shows.
Well, so. No.
So, yeah, this is something we're probably going to talk about on another episode. But, yeah, TV, like... Variety TV in Japan is very, 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 very annoying. So, anyways, that was actually something I wanted to talk about. But, I mean, have you heard about this at all, the whole tax stuff?
No, not. I haven't really been paying too much attention to it. Mm-hmm. Pretty much just comes tax time and I go and pay my taxes. Like, but, that's about it. Like, but, I go down to the tax office and I go, all right, here's what I spent. Here's my business expenses.
But, yeah, so...
Tax me.
Yeah, but so when, if you go shopping and you suddenly notice that everything seems a lot higher than it's supposed to be, or the tax rate seems a bit off, yeah, that's the reason. So, yeah, it was really interesting when they raised it from 5 to 8, because that made for a lot of trouble.
Well, yeah, and because a lot of places, like dollar store type places, had it priced so that with tax it was 100 yen.
Yes, exactly.
And after that, what they ended up doing was just being like, oh, no, it's all 108 yen.
Yeah.
So they're actually making more on each sale.
Than they used to, yeah.
They used to, which is funny.
Yep, they had to do that. And, like, they ever it used to be, like, standard that you had to include the tax. Like, with tax, it costs this much. You had to include that. And that changed that it's optional.
Mm.
So you could say it's this much plus tax. And that led to a lot more confusion. And I think, I mean, I work at a karaoke place, and they did the same thing that you're saying with the dollar shops. Where, like, they quietly raised the prices and then said it's because the tax rate was increased. But
like, totally, we promise.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, that's what's been going on. Also, the TPP. I wish I was talking about the Phantom Pain, but no, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is this, basically, it's kind of, its initial purpose is to help invigorate trade between countries in the Pacific region. Mm-hmm. And so, but obviously different countries have different regulations, things like that. And so they're trying to basically make it universal. And one of the big problems they ran into was copyright.
Yeah.
As you can probably guess. Yeah, and most of the talks apparently are going on behind closed doors, and a lot of large corporations are involved, which is always a good thing. And,
right. That's never gone wrong.
Yeah, so the way that... And somebody actually posted a video sort of analyzing what... Some of the stuff got leaked on WikiLeaks, some of the content of what they're talking about, and like what the documents say. And somebody basically went through and analyzed some of it. And interestingly enough, while the rules don't specifically say so, they're ambiguous enough that they can make modding illegal.
Hmm.
Like, they say that, like, basically... DRM? What is it? The copyright protection is like is specifically hacking that or circumventing it is illegal and punishable.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, well, if you think about it, though, that may be true.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you get probable cause for a warrant to look at that?
Yeah, But, like, even if
it's... Like, it's unenforceable.
Yeah.
Sure, you can do it. Mm. I mean, I guess it's a good thought.
Yeah.
But it's unenforceable. There's no way... Like, you can be like, oh, this is totally illegal to do this. But the only time you're ever going to catch anybody doing it is when you've already caught them for something else.
Yeah.
So... But, it's almost a non-law.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But also, another thing that was actually a big... Big issue in Japan was the fact mm-hmm. that it also affected, because copyright, it affected doujinshi. It affected basically...
Yeah, I did hear about that.
Yeah. We actually, I think our editor Brian actually wrote about an article about how basically the TPP could kill the doujin market potentially.
Mm.
And actually, this happened, I think, last week, but they actually rewrote some of it to allow, specifically allow doujinshi.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah. They changed it so that they, because, I mean, honestly, it's a huge market here in Japan. So, hooray, I guess. I mean, porn wins again, I guess. But
haha, victory for pornography. Yeah.
Anyways, so that's been going on in Japan over the past week. This is actually going to be a fairly short episode because lives
busy,
and
busy.
So, I mean, is there anything else you want to talk about or anything else going on with you?
Not really. No, that's what my life has been. Digimon that. Oh yeah, and the new Neptunia game, which is
zombies.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. It's a funny game. I think that's the best part. Is like. It's them reimagined as, like, studying abroad as students before they become goddesses. So they're having to live at a human high school or whatever. And that's, like, the setup. But Neptune decides she wants to make a zombie movie. And Blanc decides to write it because she's decided she wants to write something before she graduates. And so she's the writer-director. And so it's a zombie movie just because... except okay. for the because that's what Neptune originally wanted before Blanc was brought on
mm-hmm.
and the thing that's really funny about it is then for no adequately explained reason, at least is where I am in the game
mm-hmm.
There are actual real zombies and yeah. So it's them in the middle of a zombie apocalypse filming a movie about zombies.
Okay.
A very, very cliche movie about zombies.
For people who don't know, the Neptunia series is a property where the characters are anthropomorphized game consoles, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Neptunia is based on what
Neptune
was...
Neptune is the Sega Neptune.
Yeah, which was supposed to come after the Dreamcast.
The Sega Neptune was actually what was supposed to... Which was... what was it? It was the... The step between
Sega Genesis. Sega Saturn. Oh, okay, mm-hmm.
Yeah, like
I thought it was between the Saturn and the Dreamcast. But...
There are prototypes of the Neptune console, mm-hmm. and the prototypes are they're basically a Sega Genesis with a built-in 32X.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like that. That's okay. what a Neptune was.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we have Neptune.
Yeah.
Blanc is Nintendo. She's Wii.
Mm-hmm.
Noir is PlayStation. She's Black.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vert. Is Xbox.
Yeah. It's a how many games are there? There's like not including re-releases, but like how many games have there been for that series?
The main series is what? Three games in the main series. The Idolmaster one.
Right, I remember that one.
The zombie one, and
wasn't there one with
Noir, which was strategy based? Mm-hmm. So six. Oh no, and then there was the Wii U version, Neptunia U, which was like a kind of a Dynasty Warriors style thing.
And so they're making another one where they're going up against Sega machines.
Yeah, which is really funny because Sega's has been the publisher sometimes, of Neptunia,
yeah.
So, well, and then they went off and made their own anthropomorphized video game girls.
Yeah.
And now they're like, oh, we'll cross them over. It's like, oh, double dip in that pool, huh?
Okay. I believe some of those are out in these states, right? Like, some of those games are.
Say Ha Girls?
No, the Neptunia? Neptunia, yeah. Like, oh, yeah, are all of them, or?
No, not all.
Okay.
Actually, maybe all of them, you know, except for this last one. Yeah, okay. Maybe. Yeah, actually, I do think they are, except for the one I've been playing.
Okay.
But yeah, no, it's funny because they're just making fun of zombies, and I like the absurdity of filming a zombie movie in the zombie apocalypse.
Mm.
It's just a silly kind of concept where it's like, all right, the zombie hordes are coming. All right, read your lines, you know, and like have them act out like typical zombie cliche stuff. And then being like, all right, now we have to fight some zombies. Or like, since they don't have any other characters helping them out, cause everybody else has been turned into a freaking zombie, they'll like have things happen off screen where they like comment on it. Like, oh no, the school president's being attacked over there. Oh, and she was so strong. I thought she'd be able to save us, but those zombies took her down just like that. So I smile. It's funny.
The whole series has always been, I guess I would call it tongue in cheek.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's been tongue in cheek, but like the joke kind of started to wear thin mm-hmm. of like, they're video game consoles.
Yeah.
And,
For a while, it became more about what is what, like, what is its real real-life counterpart. It became more, it became a comparison between the anthropomorphization and what is the source material and how they're portrayed in the game.
Sure. Yeah, and like, I think the noir game was, like, a really good breath of fresh air because they started, the expanded cast for the strategy game is, like... This is the Metal Gear series personified, and this is Final Fantasy personified, and this is Street Fighter personified. Yeah. And so it was all these like game series anthropomorphized. Mm. And that was fun. It's the same joke, but like it greatly expanded beyond consoles.
Yeah.
But this is really funny because this really isn't about them being video game consoles at all.
It's just
this is
their
about
characters.
Zombie movies. Yeah. This is about making fun of cliche zombie movies and... and being a student, being like in a film club or whatever. So I'm having fun with it. It's pretty funny. Funnier than I expected.
When can we expect a review?
A couple weeks, maybe next week, maybe the week after. I don't know. Okay. Depends how quickly I'm able to get through it. What other games I have to play, what I got to do. Stuff
and
like that.
When this podcast goes up.
Oh, yay.
So I guess, rather short episode this time, but this has been the Wayward Podcast. We are a part of the One of Us Network podcast collection. And I suppose for this time's outro, last time I kind of just chose out of the blue and did not actually mention in the podcast, but this time I guess we're going to go out on the song's called Starring Child by Eimer. I believe you've heard it, though you may not recognize it until you hear it. You may not know it by name, but...
I don't, but that's very possible.
Yes. But, so this has been Wayward Podcast. We're part of the podcast where we talk about... We're supposed to talk about stuff in Japan. I guess we got some of that done this time.
Yes, some of it.
Some of it. Or we tend to meander on other stuff or personal stuff, but...
Yay.
Anyway, I'm Toshi.
I'm Richard.
And where can people find you, Richard?
You can find me on Kotaku, obviously, or you can find me on Twitter at BiggestInJapan. There we go.
Hey, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye.